You're listening to Tassie Encounters Moments on Faith FM, and we're coming to you from Tasmania, right across Australia. Each weekday at 9 a.m, you can hear what the Bible says about past, current and future events. You can learn how to study the Bible more effectively. You can get to know who God is, why we're here and where we're going. And you can experience personal encounters with Jesus. I'm your host, Jason Cook. And today, David Maxwell is back with us, continuing our topic this week of the three angels' messages. Welcome, David.
Thanks, Jason. Good to be back again.
Yeah. Now, yesterday we talked about impatience, the topic of impatience, and we looked at a bit of an example of Moses and how even he had impatience with the people. So.
Yeah, you say even, I think, also.
Well, I think.
Because we all do.
I think he was very patient, you know, ultimately.
Yes, but, yes.
40 years in wandering around that wilderness would have, I don't know that I would have had that much patience. So.
It's enough to make anyone impatient.
Yeah.
You know, we complain about 40 seconds when someone delays us, you know, 40 years. I think he was a saint.
I think we live in the time of instant everything.
Yes.
So we don't learn to develop patience so much. So, but today we promised you that we promised our listeners that we were going to start with the three angels' messages. So let's lead us into that.
Yes, we're going to get into it. And look, at this time of the year, it's Christmas Eve, and we are thinking about angels. You've probably all sung the carol in this past week or so, or maybe in previous years, Angels We Have Heard on High.
Mm.
And it might be just a song for people, but the interesting part is God does send angels to talk to us. And on Friday, we're hoping that there'll be a bit of a discussion about angels, and perhaps you can learn a bit more about that. Specifically, but we're looking at these particular messages in Revelation called the Three Angels' Messages. And so the first one we're going to look at today is in a passage from Revelation chapter 14, verse 6 and 7. Can you read that first message for us, please, Jason?
Sure. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made the heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water."
Thanks, Jason. Now, when people read this on face value and they don't know a lot about the Bible, perhaps they haven't looked anywhere else, and they read verses like this, they see that, hey, God is a God to be afraid of. You know, why do I want to worship someone who I'm afraid of? You know, I don't want to be around people who scare me. And they might think that that's what this verse is saying. However, it's not what we think it means. Well, what we might think that it actually means. In some places in the Bible, fear does mean to be afraid, but not here, not here. Wherever it speaks about God's desire for our response to him, it's not talking about being afraid. In the perfect environment in the Garden of Eden, and this is the reason we know this, before sin, there was no fear. Adam and Eve walked with God like friends. You know, they walked in the garden. It was only after sin entered that they started to become afraid of God, not because God had changed, but because they had changed. And so they hide themselves from God because they had done something wrong and they didn't, you know, they were scared of what might happen. But that's not, you know, God's fault. He hasn't changed. In fact, and you see that in Genesis 3, verse 4, in fact, King David gives us a good understanding of godly fear. So in Psalms chapter 19 and verse 9, I want to read that for our listeners today. Psalms chapter 19, not 119, just 19. Here we go. Let me just flip to the page. Chapter 19 and verse 9, it says, "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." So if the fear of the Lord is clean, we know that things that are clean are good. You know, things that are dirty, they're bad, aren't they? Well, that's pretty much the way it works in this world. But if the fear of the Lord is clean and endures forever, it can hardly mean to be afraid of him. It can hardly mean that. In actual fact, in the longest chapter of the Bible, Psalms 119, that was also written by King David, He does nothing but share the love of all things that relate to God. And fear is hardly mentioned. In actual fact, you know, how many times do you reckon in the Bible the word fear would be mentioned? Probably a lot, eh?
I know there's many verses that say fear not, you know, because God's with you. But I don't know. You'll have to tell me.
There's a lot. There's over 400.
Wow.
Now, I didn't expect you to know that off the top of your head, but I figured that there would be a lot. And there really is. There's more that say love, but fear is mentioned over 400 times. And in all of the Bible, in this chapter, Psalms 119, fear is only mentioned four times. Now, this is significant because there's over 152 verses in this chapter. So only four times fear is mentioned, and only one of those is mentioned in the sense of being afraid. Now, in the Hebrew, there's all different kinds of words for fear. for the English word fear. But for this particular passage, being afraid, verse 120, where David speaks of God's judgments, he says, "I'm afraid of your judgments." That's for wrongdoing. Now, that kind of relates a lot to what we just said about Garden of Eden, didn't it? You know, if you do something wrong, you can be afraid of the response for that, the outcome, the consequence. Now, if you're afraid of the judge, okay, you don't want to go to court, because if you go to court, you're afraid of what might happen. Now, why would you usually go to court, Jason?
Because you've probably done something wrong.
Usually that's the case, right?
You might have been falsely accused, but you know.
You might have.
Yeah.
I don't know anyone. Well, maybe one person that went falsely accused. Everybody else goes and they have to defend themselves because they've done something wrong. So is there something wrong with the judge? Is the judge a bad person?
No.
No, he's just upholding the law, isn't he? Usually is a good person. Now, I know a judge. And he's a really good person, really good person. And he hands down very fair judgments. Now, this is even better for God. You know, God, you know, we don't need to be afraid of God, but you would be wise to respect him. Now, you imagine how powerful, we've talked about this before, how powerful is God?
Yeah, very powerful.
Right? You would be wise to be respectful of someone with that kind of power. But the amazing thing is God doesn't misuse it.
I love the word revere. I think that almost...
That's a good word.
The definition says feel deep respect or admiration for something. So it's almost revere would be a good word to use.
I like that. I like that. Maybe we'll use that instead. So how can you obey someone you don't revere? Now, I suppose you can if you're doing it out of terror, but that's not what the Bible's talking about. And a good example is your partner. When you get married, the Bible says the two become one, meaning you start to become aligned in purpose and relationship. And, you know, you start, you know, after years, you probably finish your wife's sentences, don't you, Jason?
Sometimes.
Sometimes. They seem to know what we're thinking, though, don't they? So, look, as we do that, we don't obey because we're scared of the consequences of not obeying. You actually obey them. You do what they like you to do because you love them, you know, and you care about them, you respect. And the greater the depth of the relationship and mutual respect for each other, the more you behave in such a way that is the way they like you to behave. And this is what fear or respect or reverence for God means. In 1 John 4:18, it says, "Perfect love casts out fear." So this then leads naturally to the rest of the first angel's message, where it says to give him glory and worship. So how would you give glory to someone that you love?
You would honor them. you honor them by fulfilling your commitments and vows. And obviously we're leading to, in the case of God, we have his instructions. And so David says in Psalm 119 that he wants to write those instructions on his heart so that he won't sin against God. So
yeah, he does. You know, you lift the other person up, you know, you show them respect. You actually, you know, when let's say the person that you're married to is introvert, okay, they don't like showing everything. So when they do something good, you say, hey, look what my wife did. Mm. Look, she made this beautiful thing for me, and she don't want anyone to know, but I want everyone to know. Mm. Because she did this great thing. And you actually, you lift up her character in front of everyone else, don't you?
Yeah.
Because you love them. And now that's what worshipping God should be like. And how would you worship God? You would worship him in the way that he asks to be worshipped.
Yeah.
You know, not do exactly the opposite. So the reason we do that is because if we do, and we lift God up from a fully devoted heart, well, when the judgment comes, we won't have anything to be afraid of.
Mm.
You know, I saw a movie once that depicted the the detail of immigration officers in the US. And, you know, for people who were migrating to the US and they were marrying an American. And I'm sure it was, you know, not entirely accurate. But there'd be a lot of truth in the fact that they're very, very thorough. And if two people really love each other, it becomes evident in their attitude and their behaviours. And so if they watch them long enough, they can see how they're behaving. So I look at when Jesus is coming, he wants to acquit us, you know, and he wants to make sure that our relationship with him now is genuine. So what can we learn from this topic today about the relationship, the first angel worshipping God and giving him glory? Well, first, I believe you need to discover what God's really like, because if you discover what he's like, then you can respond to him through love rather than being afraid of the consequences of not connecting to him. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Mm. And secondly, when we do this, our behavior reflects our true heart relationship. So building a relationship like that takes time. And that's why this first message is so urgent. Well, why all the messages are urgent. Because if we don't start now, time's going to run out, and then we will be afraid of what comes next. But rather, we should put our lives and faith fully in God's hands, and then we learn to love him and trust him completely. So if you want help to learn how to do that or get started with that, please get in touch. God is patient with us, but patience can't delay his return forever.
Mm, absolutely. Well, text us in if you'd like to connect with us on 0488 880891. And our question for this week: have you ever received an urgent or pressing message, and what did you do about it? We'd love to hear from you, so do text us in on that same number.
This program is made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.
Our book offer for this week is called Archangel, and it's a great book, so do write down this code, TEM07. This is by Miguel Valdivia. We had some discussion about how to pronounce that before, David. So
we did.
Throughout the history of the universe, angels have had an interesting and intimate interplay with humans. As God's messengers to a fallen world, they have watched and walked among men, invisible, powerful, guarding against the evil forces that surround us. Archangel examines the role played by angels in the great controversy. From the stories recorded of angelic intervention in the Bible times to coincidences in our own lives, these powerful stories challenge us to open our eyes to the angels who walk beside us, to recognize the ongoing war between good and evil. So that's our book offer. Do text us in, TEM07 to 0488880891. That's all we've got for today. So thank you, David, for presenting this first angel's message. Of course, in our next episode, we'll look at the second angel's message, so do join us for that. And we look forward to talking to you again next time, David.
Mm.
This is Chris Rice with Hallelujahs. We just pray that you encounter Jesus more and more today, and that you can learn to love him and worship him as instructed in these messages. Thank you, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Purple sky to close the day. I wade the surf where dolphins play. The taste of salt, the dance of waves, and
and my soul wells up with hallelujahs. A lightning flash, my pounding heart, a breaching whale, a shooting star. Give testimony that you are, and my soul wells up with hallelujahs. Oh, praise Him, all His mighty works. There is no language where you can be heard. Your song goes out to all the earth. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, cratered moon and sparrow's wings, oh, thunder's boom and Saturn's ring. Unveil our Father as you sing, and my soul wells up with hallelujahs. Oh, praise Him, all His mighty works. There is no language where you can be heard. Your song goes out to all the earth. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Pulse of life within my wrist, a fallen snow, a rising mist. There is no higher praise than this, and my soul wells up, oh, my soul wells up. Yes, my soul wells up with hallelujahs. Oh, praise Him, all His mighty works.
This program has been made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.